إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers and sisters, expanding on the further reminder of yesterday's, which is your iman is incomplete. The hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning of which is where he said, your iman is incomplete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. And by this brother is meant our brothers and sisters in humanity, which is every human being on the face of the earth. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your iman is not complete until you want for them what you want for yourself. Now, among the things that we want, among the most important things that we want for each other, is not only the material the material wealth and health and so on, but perhaps even more important, especially for those who have any sense of honor, is good name. We want to have the best name. We want to be mentioned honorably. We want to be remembered with honor. So this is what we want for ourselves, and therefore it is very important for us to want the same for our brothers and sisters. Now, what does that mean? That is the reason why ghiba is described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as eating the flesh of your dead brother. And reflect on that, because Allah gave us this ayah to reflect on, and He said, فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. He said, you find this disgusting, you have karaha from this example. The example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave deliberately, knowing that it will cause a feeling of disgust in the hearts and minds of people who have any sense of honor. فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Allah said, this you find disgusting, this you find, you have karaha in this thing. Why is He saying that? Jalla Jalaluhu. Because, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, therefore leave it, because it is so disgusting. So talking evil about others, wanting evil about others, goes against the spirit of this hadith. I want good for myself, and therefore I must want good for my brothers and sisters. I want to be mentioned honorably, therefore I must mention others only and only if I can do that honorably. I want to be remembered with honor, and therefore I must remember others with honor. If others are doing things which are dishonorable in themselves, if others are doing things which I find to be not to my liking, or if the things are things which are actually wrong, then the thing to do is to go and correct that person myself. Go and meet that person, go and talk to that person, correct that person. And if I cannot do that for whatever the reason there might be, then it is my job to make dua for the correction of that person, but still not slander them, still not backbite them, still not speak evil about those people. The only exception is where a person's actions might be things which are a source of danger, a source of loss or harm to others, in which case, of course, I must warn the other people. So if there is somebody who is engaging in antisocial or criminal activity, then I must, whoever comes into contact with them, or if someone asks me about them, then I must say, look, don't deal with that person, because that person is a criminal, or that person has done such and such. But even in that case, there is no justification to go around the whole world talking to anyone, whether it concerns them or not, about that person, or to make public statements about such people. Because many times I find people justify their open criticism many times from the member of this person or that person or this group or that group, saying that their aqidah is false, and you know they are spending, they are spreading falsehood in the world and so on and so forth. Allah knows best. But even there, my preference would be, and I would recommend that you go and deal with those people directly, go and talk to those people, rather than making such statements. And many people take also, they are very clever, because they take the shelter of legal language. So for example, I've heard somebody saying, if whatever I have heard is true, and then they proceed to destroy the reputation of somebody else. So now you think that just because you said, if what I heard is true, You began with that statement that that umbrella covers you and saves you from the evil of your words. I'm sorry, it does not. It is a legal gimmick which we understand, and I'm sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands as well. So therefore, the reputation of other people must be as sacred and sacrosanct to us as our own reputation. Now recently, and of course we see this happening all the time, but recently we had this tragic two accidents during the Hajj. We had the crane that fell in the Haram, and we had the stampede in Mina. And after that I met many of the brothers and sisters who had been for Hajj, and many of them, they come back, and many of them I heard, we say, how was the experience of Hajj? And they say, yeah, it was nice, but. And then there's a lot of criticism. This was not good, that was not good. The crowd was so much. And I mean, my question is very simple. My question is, where do you think you went? Did you think you went to Disneyland? Or did you think you went for Hajj? Right? 3 million people in one place. Did you not know that this is going to happen? Did you not know that there would be a crowd? Oh, it was so hot. Where were you going? To Switzerland? Or are you going to Saudi Arabia? Right? Where were you going? So it was, it's hot in Saudi Arabia? Yeah. How surprising is that? I go to Alaska and I say, oh boy, wow, it's so cold. How surprising is that? I jump into the pool and I say, wow, I got wet. I mean, think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I was sitting in a gathering here, and may Allah bless the Sheikh, one of the shuyukh, he listened to this whole thing that was going on. I generally say nothing, so I was just sitting silently. And then the Sheikh made a beautiful comment, may Allah bless him. He said, do not complain about the house of Allah. Do not complain about the journey of Hajj. Because if you keep complaining, then Allah will not invite you. Now think about that. Think about this. Who are the Hujjaj? The Hujjaj are people we call Duyuf Allah, the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you went to the house of your host, and you had some difficulties. And Allah knows best, and I'll come to that in a minute. Most, if not all, of those difficulties are our own creation. We have those difficulties because we behave in the ways that we behave. So we have those difficulties, and then we complain about this, how this journey was so hard, and how the climate was so hot, and how this and how that. La hawla quwwata illa billah. What then happened to the fact, the knowledge that you went for Hajj, the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited you to an ibadah, at the end of which you're free from sin, like you are free from sin the day you were born, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely wiped away all your sins. Now what is that worth to you? That is my question. What is that worth to you? Put that on a scale, being completely free from sin, totally, like the day that you were born, on one pan of the scale, and put whatever difficulties you went through when you went for Hajj on the other scale. What do you think the scale looks like? Which pan is heavier? Which pan is heavier? If I asked you this question and I said, to be completely free from sin, to be totally forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and to die in that state, to die in a state of being completely free from sin, meaning that your Jannah is guaranteed, inshallah. Guaranteed. What are you willing to undergo in terms of expense or in terms of inconvenience? What would you say? And if you think, or if you say, that the inconvenience that you had to undergo because you went for Hajj, because of the crowds and because of the heat or whatever, or the way that you got treated by this or that official, if you say that that inconvenience was really not worth the price, which is to become completely forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have all your du'as accepted in Arafat, inshaAllah, then I don't think I need to say anything to you anymore. So I'm not going to talk about that matter anymore. I'm going to leave you to judge that for yourself, if that is your position. But if that is not your position, which I am sure is not the position of anyone who has any iman at all, and if your position is that there's really nothing that I would not do, there's no inconvenience that I would refuse, if the result of that was complete forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are in that position, alhamdulillah, that's my position myself, then insha'Allah al-musta'an, there is nothing to talk about, there is nothing to complain about, because at the end of whatever it was, I am free from sin, insha'Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, let us learn to be people of shukr. Let us learn to be people of who are thinking people. Let us not ruin the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by complaining about them. Let's not ruin the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by complaining about them. Just think about this. Think for yourself, if someone gives you, say for example, if someone gives you a shirt as a gift, right? Your brother went to, like, you know, you have these t-shirts with the rather nasty slogan on it. My brother went to New York and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Now that's a disgusting statement. It might sound funny, but it's a disgusting, ungrateful statement. Because that's our attitude to life. All I got was this lousy something, right? So you are being ungrateful for the blessing that Allah gave you. And in this particular case, this blessing that Allah gave you is complete freedom from sin. And you want to be ungrateful about that by talking about the inconveniences that you had to undergo. I'm not saying that, and we'll look at those inconveniences and so on later on, if Allah gives the tawfiq. But here I just want to talk about this and saying that whatever happened, happened, for whatever the reason might be. But you went and you came back safe and sound, and you did your hajj, and inshallah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your hajj and to forgive your sins and to consider you as a person who is reborn, free from all sin. But when we talk to you about that, when we ask you how was the hajj, and you make statements which show, which are complaints, you complain, you groan and moan, then what does that say about your gratitude for the gift that Allah gave you? If you brought somebody a gift and the person looked at it and said, oh yeah, I have many like this. Oh yeah, yeah, this is okay. This is not the greatest brand. You know, if somebody says something like that, you feel like slapping him in the face and you say, what kind of a disgusting creature are you that somebody gives you a gift and you are ungrateful to that person for that gift. Now the gift of Allah that Allah gave us is not a gift which is a lowbrow brand. It is the best gift that we can ever ask for, which is complete forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we get that gift, we have complaints about what we had to face when we went through that experience. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. My brothers and sisters, I advise you and I warn you, I advise myself and I warn myself, never, never, never speak ungratefully about the ni'mat and about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Look around you and you will find people who do not have those blessings. And today there is no shortage of examples of people who do not have the blessings that you have. Look around them. If you really need reminders, look around yourself. But if you have any intelligence and any ability to reflect, you don't even need the examples. You just need to look at yourself and say, alhamdulillah, what was it in me that my Rabb saw to call me to his house and to enable me to make hajj, and he gave me arafah, and he gave me tawaf, and he gave me sa'i, and he gave me all the arkan of hajj, and then he forgave me all my sins. What is it that was in me? Can I even look at myself and say that this is why Allah did it? Or am I forced, if necessary, to the conclusion that my Rabb did it because he is Rabbul Alameen, because he is Al-Ghafur Rahim, because he is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim fi dunya wal-akhirah, because he is Zul Jalali Wal Ikram, because he is Rabbul Arshil Kareem, because there is no one that is more generous, there is no one who gives more, there is no one who gives without reason, there is no one who gives to those who don't deserve than my Rabb Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to enable us to be ibadan shakura. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to stand in salah and his feet would swell. And Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, out of concern for her husband, she would ask him, why do you do this, Ya Rasulullah? You're causing so much pain to yourself. Why do you have to pray so much? Why do you have to cry so much before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? When Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala forgave everything for you and he announced this in the Quran, why must you do this? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's response is a response for all human beings for all time. And he said, should I not therefore be a grateful slave? And that's the question I ask myself and I ask you, especially those of you who are groaning and mourning after going for Hajj. Should you not be a grateful slave? Should you not be a grateful slave? Go and make tawbah. Go and make tawbah so that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does not take away that Hajj from you. Go and make tawbah and ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to forgive you, and never open your mouth and say anything critical about your experience of Hajj. Say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala invited me. I am with my Rabb and I was his guest and he was my host. And who is a better host than Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalalu? We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to enable us to be ibadan shakura, to be grateful slaves. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to not to deprive us from his ni'mat because of the ungrateful kalimat, because of the ungrateful words that we use for his bounties. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahman rahim.